This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
They need help in the trenches, and I think Sean McDermott wants that, Brandon Bean wants that, whether it's defensive tackle or defensive end, and it is a very good class at both of those positions. It's not just Abdul Carter. It's not just Mason Graham inside for Michigan, and even if teams need those premium positions, there are enough that feel like they are going to be first-round caliber, and it's a really good edge rusher and interior defensive line class. So it will come down to the grades. It'll come down to, of course, what the Bills prioritize and, of course, what they do in free agency, filling some of those defensive needs in the trenches.
Chris Trapasso of CBS Sports. Very good stuff from Chris. Check it out. A lot of good draft stuff coming in the next couple of months from him as well. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe. Talk to Paul Hamilton coming up at 8:30. Talk some hockey. The Four Nations Tournament. Try not to rant too much about Dahlin not playing in overtime last night, but I just feel like that Sweden coach doesn't know what he's doing or doesn't know how good Dahlin really is if he's benching him end of the third and into overtime. We're talking James Cook, though. And he is, you know, being a little aggressive, I think, about going after what he wants contract-wise, just more so than you normally see from a Bill. And I'm not against it at all. You know, like, I don't think it's a problem. I'm not even sure the Bills hate it. I don't know if they care. They are very much an organization that lets you be you. You know, everyone says it. The way that all the media guys know it, the players talk like that. Dawkins said it at the Super Bowl. Like, they let you be you here. And if being you is being loud about how good you are or whatever, like McDermott especially, his end of season press conference, we can play it back too at some point. The James Cook comment from McDermott about how their backfield kind of operates and how competitive it is with each other and how Cook will even like yell at him on the sidelines, but like in a like get me on the field type of way. Like McDermott loves it. And I think a lot of that is where Cook has come from. Cook is still, I'm sure, this a little bit, but he was very quiet, didn't say anything at the start of his Bills career to now. Again, I'm not saying he's like the most boisterous guy in the locker room, but if he's willing to like be yelling on the sidelines, you saw how fired up he was after scoring that touchdown in the AFC Championship. And I think McDermott even said that Cook is now like in their leadership group. Like he's somebody that when their leadership group talks to coaches or whatever, like he's a part of that group. So there's that. There's how much he's improved as a player. The one area I don't really feel like he's improved that much is pass protection. You know, like he came into the league with that being a glaring hole and something he needed to get better at if he was ever going to be a regular passing down back. But he grew in all the other ways. His vision as a runner, first and second down guy, he got more physical. He got faster. The numbers bear that out, by the way. Like, I'm not sure what he did workout-wise last offseason to get faster, but there's player tracking with miles per hour now, and the 20-plus or the 15-plus mile-per-hour bursts that you see are far greater than they were in previous years for James Cook. So he's been a very impressive player. I'm kind of caught in the middle because I think I still want to err on the side of caution and not generally wanting to pay a running back a second contract. If there ever was a time to do it, maybe this is a player that you should be okay with it. Because he's not, unless he's going to stay really strong on the $15 million number, you know, if you can get him around 10, then that's a modest running back contract. For the cap going up, it's about the same as James Conner and Chuba Hubbard. Like, we're talking about the secondary backs of the league, if you can get him at that number. And one thing that I always like to look at for running backs, and when it's predictable that they're going to have their drop-off, is looking at their total touches. Look at the mileage on their bodies, because they take a beating. And it's a position where if you lose a step, that's it for you. Typically, that is it for you. You've got to be so good at other things to make up for that. So oftentimes, it's not perfect. Of course, some guys go over it. Some guys go under it. But around 2,000 career touches, college plus pro, is a pretty good benchmark. It's a pretty good number to watch for. Guys, once they start to get to 2,000 and above that, that's usually about it. That's usually about it for them. Again, there are anomalies. There are examples of Derrick Henry, for instance. Derrick Henry is blown by 2,000 career touches and looks like he's the same dude. He's a specimen. Adrian Peterson blew by 2,000 career touches and was still a dominant player for a few years after that and then lasted in the league till he was like 36. But a lot of other guys, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, Dalvin Cook, that was about the number. It was about, yeah, right around 2,000. That was it. That is, it's like a, you know, not to compare them to cars, but when a car reaches 100,000 miles, you know, you just start to think, all right, maybe time for a new one. And the positive about James Cook, that I don't know how often this would be viewed as a positive. It usually would be more viewed as a risk or a negative for a player. But for me, I even remember saying this when they drafted him. One thing that I liked about selecting James Cook in the second round when they did, not only they traded down twice but before they picked him, it was, oh, well, this dude's got no mileage on the tires. He just wasn't a huge part of the Georgia offense when he was in college. So between not being a feature back in college and not being used a whole hell of a lot in his first year with the Bills, you now look at, look, compare him to his brother. Total touches before your second contract. Where is James Cook right now stand compared to his brother? James Cook is at 927 career touches, college plus pro. Dalvin Cook, at this same time in his career, which is when he got paid, he was at 1,327. 400 more touches, and that was with a season completely lost to a torn ACL. That matters too. Dalvin Cook had 400 more touches and a torn ACL in his history when the Vikings signed him. Cook does not have the same mileage, and he does not have the same major injury history. Not to say Dalvin had a bunch of them, but James Cook's got nothing major injury-wise. And sure, that can happen to anybody, right? Which is why that's the push and pull for me right now. Like, the pull is, you know, he doesn't really have a lot of tread in the tires. He just came off a year where he was faster than ever, more dynamic than ever. Like, he's become more of a professional than maybe he was at the beginning of his career, if that's a fair, you know, thing to say about him. Like, okay, don't mind it. The counter to that for me always, though, with running backs, and this is not a James Cook point, this is just a running back's point, is they're always, at this age especially, 26, 27 years old, James Cook going into his age 26-year-old season. At this point, they're a major injury away for that being it. That's it. Almost never does a running back at this spot in their career sustain a major injury and really come back from it in any sort of productive way. And that's not true of other positions. Like, it's not true of quarterback. It's not even as true of wide receiver. Like, there are a bunch of receivers who have picked up injuries around this age and have gone on to still have great careers after the fact. You know, tight ends, running backs, it's because of the short lifespan of the running back position.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
And it's because of that, you know, you lose one step and there's a guy waiting behind you who is a fifth-round pick who's twice as fast as you are now, and it's all about hitting those holes as quickly as possible. Like, that's where I still lean towards I just don't think I'd want to do it at any cost. Almost any cost, I'm not sure I'd want to do it. I'd be worried. I'd be worried about that guy's an injury away from me being locked into two, three more years of a back that I'm no longer expecting anything from. And when you sign a Shakir or a Benford or a Rousseau, any of these other guys, if the same thing were to happen to them, I would think, okay, that stinks. Long road ahead of recovery, but I'm hopeful and optimistic that on the other end of that, they're going to come out nearly as good of a player. We just kind of saw from Matt Milano, didn't we? Like, he wasn't perfect when he came back, but he picked up two major injuries in a two-year span at 29 years old, and within a couple of games, like, oh, that looked like Matt Milano. Remember we played the Jets in Week 17? He's like, that looked like Matt Milano. That looked like a great linebacker. And it's just more rare for that with running back. It's not impossible. It does happen. Peterson did it. You know, others have done it. But it's just, it's a lot harder, I think, for that position. And that would scare me off of any running back for a second contract. Let's go to the phones and go to Anthony in Buffalo. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, good morning, Joe. You know, two things here. Number one, with James Cook, you know, is the franchise tag an option for him to get his $15 million for a one-year deal? And then the second point I wanted to make up was, you know, with this upcoming draft and the defensive ends, the defensive tackles that are, you know, supposed to be very deep, do we, you know, in the past, obviously we haven't really been hitting on those players. You know, do we really kind of trust that they're going to grade these players properly and, you know, find a stud out of this, this new crop of players coming into the league this year? So that was really what I wanted to say. Have a good day, and
yeah,
go Bills.
Thanks, Anthony. Right. Their draft process, I don't know they always do this, but my biggest critique of them over the years has been more how many times you draft a player where there just doesn't really feel like there's a ceiling. You know? You're drafting a guy that you're pretty sure is going to be productive for you and is going to be someone that's trustworthy and you feel really solid about being an NFL caliber player. AJ Epenesa comes to mind for me on this. Boogie Basham, although I guess Basham didn't turn out to this, but I remember thinking about him when they drafted him. There have been others. Maybe even Coleman to a lesser extent. Guys that you feel like they're going to be NFL pros, but you're not going for the elite athletic traits that you can morph into a star player. And I'm not saying they've never done that. They have, and it's actually blown up in their face. Like, I think Kyer Elam was a little bit of that. Kyer Elam was a player that did not fit their style of defense at all. But he was big for the position. He was long for the position. He was fast. I think Elam ran a sub 4.440. Yeah, 4.39. Speed, size, and length. And they said, we know he played a defense in college completely different than we did here. We do here. But look at all these traits. We could turn that into something. And they didn't. And again, I'm not saying they've never done it either and it's worked. Spencer Brown, I think, was this. Spencer Brown came from a small school, had not played football that long. Remember, he was playing 7-on-7 football only a couple of years before he got drafted. He was a third-round pick, but why'd they draft him? Because he had like the best athletic profile in the draft. It was, okay, didn't play at a high level, but, and Allen is this too a little bit, we can take those athletic traits and morph that into a star player, and that has worked. I mean, Spencer Brown, I think, is one of the top 10 right tackles right now in the league. At least the former linemen that like to study this stuff, you know, kind of imply that. So again, I'm not saying they never do it. I think I just like them to do it a little more often. So that's my only critique. It's not even a major one. And then on Cook being franchise tag, my only worry there would be how upset are you making the player? Do you feel like that's a good environment? Do you feel like that's going to get, you know, that's a solution? I don't know. The way Cook's already talking and the way running back is, the way his brother has already been through this and is a voice for him and his agent too, but his brother I think is a big influence probably on this given that he's already gone through it. Like, I know what I would tell him. If I were James Cook's agent, I know what I would tell him. You don't play another snap until you're getting paid. You know, you don't play another snap until you get paid because of what we just talked about. You are a significant knee injury away from never getting your payday. Never. In a running back's lifespan, unless, again, you're a all-time great like a Derrick Henry, you got one big payday. That's usually it. And if I'm James Cook, if I'm someone that's close to James Cook, I think the advice I'd want to give him is every snap you take from here on out, you are risking losing your one big payday. Because if he got a significant injury this year, I don't think he'd get it. I don't think he'd ever find his way to the big contract. You know, the big by his standards, big by running back standards, 4 years, $42 million. You know? Instead of that, you get a big injury, you might be looking at like a one-year, $5 million deal. Like, there's a lot of money you could lose on the table if you're a running back versus, you know, Chris Godwin's a free agent this year at wide receiver off a major injury. I still expect him to get a big payday. Maybe the term isn't there as much for him, but he's going to make money. Mike in Pennsylvania is next. What's up, Mike?
Hey, yeah, if I'm the Bills, here's two things. I think James Cook is worried about getting paid, and I think the Bills have the leverage in this situation on not to pay him just because they have a capable back backing him up. I do deserve he, you know, should get some, you know, maybe an extension, but not to the tune of $15 million. I would be shocked if he's still a Buffalo Bill after draft day. I just feel like when you go public like that, and you're trying to, you know, create leverage, and really all you're doing is creating tension between the organization and you. But I think there's serious doubts on if the Buffalo Bills are going to pay a running back $15 million a year. Listen, Cook is good, but he's not one of the in my opinion, he's not one of the top five backs, and he's asking to get paid like that. There's a lot of stuff that I think James Cook doesn't do well, but I do think there's a lot of stuff that he does well. If I'm the Bills, I'm really looking to part ways with him, move off of him, and then just elevate Ray Davis up. I think they're in a great position to do so because of the depth, and there's a lot of the fans out there, I'm one of them, that wanted to see more of Ray Davis. To me, I feel like he can do pretty much most of what James Cook could do in the receiving and running. So I feel like the Bills are in a great spot, and if I'm them, I'm allocating that money, that $15 million that you're trying to get, James Cook's trying to get, and I'm allocating that to a receiver, Myles Garrett, whoever, wherever, but not running back.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. All reasonable. I think Cook is a better player than Ray Davis, but I do think Davis is better at certain things. I would actually trust Davis more as a pass-catching back right now, because he's a better blocker, and I think he probably actually has better hands. I think Cook's a better runner, though. And the numbers bear that out. Like, the rushing yards over expected, like, Cook is significantly better than Davis. The vision, the burst. I like Davis, though. If you told me Davis had to be their lead back for half a season, like, I feel like they'd do completely fine. I don't think they'd miss a beat, even if the player isn't, you know, as good. But I mostly agree. I don't think $15 million is the number anyway. It's the number he's putting out there, but if the Bills want to do 8 and he wants to do 15, like, the numbers they're talking about are somewhere in between that. Really, I think the real debate is about, do you want to pay him 10, 11, 12? Like, that to me is the range that's more likely. Maybe I'm wrong, though. Maybe he will hold really, really strong on that. One more quick call, and then we'll hit a break. Rick in Hamburg. What's up, Rick?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Morning.
I just don't think paying a running back that kind of money is worth it. I would, like the other caller said, actually, I would invest it in the interior defensive linemen.
Yeah.
I know you go back, but I'm just reminded of guys drafted in the third round and beyond, Terrell Davis, all these other running backs that turned out to be really good, solid running backs, and you didn't have to pay them. And Saquon Barkley was invisible in the Super Bowl game. Invisible.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
I would rather, besides, if you look at the Bills' offensive line, I mean, pretty much any halfway decent running back can run behind that line.
Well, that's where, yeah, thanks, Rick, for the call. The line point, there are almost two layers to it. I think what Barkley kind of showed this year is, there are only certain situations where a running back is really that valuable to you. It's if you have a good offensive line or even a great offensive line in front of them. Because that's a good point. If you plug in any average back on this Bills line, you're probably getting pretty good results. At least pretty good. It would be hard to mess it up. But then you have to evaluate, okay, who's the best now at getting away once they're in the open field. My line has done a job. My scheme has done a job to get these running backs to the second and third level. And now I have to decide, how badly do I want somebody that can create more yardage and more big explosive plays once they get to those linebackers and safeties? Because that's what happened in Philadelphia. Last year, They had the same amazing offensive line. And guys like Kenneth Gainwell and, you know, Boston Scott, these no-name average backs, would go in there and they get you 3-4 yards a carry because there were holes. But then when it was time to get into the open field and make guys miss to create, to make a 5-yard run, a 25-yard run, they didn't possess that capability. And that's where you got to almost decide how valuable is James Cook compared to the average back. The average back is going to run through those holes that Connor McGovern and Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown are creating for them. Now, who's the guy I want to beat the linebackers and beat the safeties? And James Cook just had a phenomenal year doing that. And I think Ray Davis could give you some good results there too. Maybe not as good though. And I would agree with most of our callers here that, sure, I think Cook's better for this offense, better in those spots, better at creating the explosive plays, but I'm not ready to give $12 to $15 million to get that. Time out here. We'll get back to some hockey. The Four Nations Tournament. I think Dahlin should have played more last night. Ask Paul what he thinks about that. Sweden and Canada got things rolling. Team USA, there's a lot of hockey to get to. Coming back here on WGR.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.